Now's the perfect time to start planning your paint projects. Blaine's Farm and Fleet is your one-stop shop for all kinds of painting needs, from brushes, rollers, and paint trays to drop cloths, ladders, you name it. Shop great prices in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.
It's Wisconsin's most complete farm show. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
It is going to be a chilly Tuesday, no doubt about that. Maybe even some snow showers later this afternoon. 25 are expected high tomorrow. Maybe a little sunshine, but not much warmer. 32. Thursday, a little sun in the forecast. 33. Friday, partly cloudy skies, and we drop down to 19 degrees. Talking about that with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in just a little bit. Today is the beginning of the 2021 Dairy Strong Conference. That's happening all online in the virtual world. DairyStrong.org has all of the speaker rundown. And by the way, this afternoon at 4:30, I'll be hosting a virtual happy hour with my friend Manitowoc Minute's Charlie Behrens. It's all brought to you by Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. So if you want to tune into that, DairyStrong.org. Say, have you heard of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation? Yes, it's a grassroots organization of people just like you that care about keeping agriculture strong. By joining Farm Bureau, you also qualify for a number of money-saving member benefits on equipment, autos, travel, and insurance. Get more details at WFBF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
There are several assistance programs that helped our current residents and farmers alike, and one of those were the Farmers to Families Food Box Program. From the western end of the world's longest barn in La Crosse, I'm Caitlin Riley. And that's crucial not only for people who are trying to put food on their tables, but also for farmers who are trying to move products with lost markets. And Pam, are we going to see more of this in 2021?
You know, good question, Caitlin. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke at the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And it's one that I posed to Sherry Tussler. She's the manager of the Hunger Task Force. Now, that group is headquartered in Milwaukee, but in reality, their outreach and their ripple effect is felt across the state all the way to northern Wisconsin. And I started talking with Sherry back in 2020 when those food box programs were implemented. She liked it. It brought Wisconsin produce, including fresh meat, to homes of the folks that she served. Now, we were told that the last of the money was basically implemented and executed at the end of December. So what happens from here on? Oh, well, Tussler says she's got reason to be optimistic that because they were so successful with the program, it will continue in the Biden administration. Right now, she says she's still facing very, very high demand for the product that they have at the food bank and food pantries. And she said they're also still kind of following the holiday trend of people that were looking for assistance while others were giving. Now we're in the new calendar year, and she says that giving has a tendency to slow down.
Well, things were super busy, and we did get those Farmers to Families food boxes, not only out here in Milwaukee, but throughout the state of Wisconsin. They went to the tribal nations. They went to free and local food banks in Green Bay, Sheboygan, Washera, La Crosse. And so they were covering the state pretty well, and then individual food pantries were picking up from those groups who were serving as hubs. Sadly, the program ended on December 31st, although we do know that on December 21st, the Trump administration signed into law an additional relief package, and now we're waiting in a hold pattern and hoping for some additional Farmers to Families boxes that should arrive sometime, we think, late January, early February.
Talk to me about the food boxes and, I guess, the evolution of this program, Sherry. I was thinking about it the other day. It's one thing to put together a food box when we're in the middle or end of the growing season and still have plenty of harvest around. Does it get trickier now that we're into the winter, or what are you hearing from the partners that help fill those food boxes?
The aggregators are still locating foods, and they were looking to add fresh produce. And so the question was, what will people like and want? And obviously the answer is the things that have a longer shelf life, because these boxes are going to go out to families within a week of being delivered. So we're not looking at microgreens as much as we're looking at apples, oranges, potatoes, root crops, squashes, that sort of thing. But we did also advocate very strongly for Wisconsin dairy, and cheese and milk was always part of the box.
Excellent. That's good to hear. How are we doing as far as continued support at the Hunger Task Force, and what you're hearing from some of your other partners when it comes to keeping shelves full, keeping those pantries well-stocked? I mean, I know that a lot of times during the holiday, people are generous. I hope they are anyhow. What do you worry about as the manager of the Hunger Task Force now that we're into a new calendar year and the elements? You can't deny that the elements fight people from getting out.
You're right. And right now what we are doing is utilizing some family boxes that we had built using funding from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection here in Wisconsin. And we stockpiled a few semi-loads full of those, and we're distributing them out during this interim period when there are no farmers to families boxes. And so the supplies of food are stable, although not great. And we're hoping for some additional relief coming up again once we have a new administration and some decisions are made about how assistance will be provided to states and local communities.
We've got that big package out in Washington, D.C. that's supposed to provide everything from a stimulus check right on through to more financial support for some very valuable programs. What are you hearing on that side of things, Sherry? I know you're well connected when it comes to looking ahead on what might be coming financially for the task force. Are you hearing anything connected with that in D.C.?
Well, what we're hearing is that there's going to be a 15% increase in the food share program, and so we're encouraging everyone who doesn't have enough food in their house to go ahead and apply for food share, because that's going to give you that debit card. It is currently at its maximum allowable household benefit, and it's going to increase even 15% more. And so if there are families out there that are in need, please sign up for that program. We'll see an increase in a senior box program called the Commodity Supplemental Food Program. We're also going to see that farmers to families piece, which seems to be the first thing that's getting triggered. And so if there's a need for emergency food, again, that food share program is the first line of defense against hunger. And all you have to do is go online or use your smartphone to sign up.
Where do I sign up then?
AccessACCESS.gov.
Excellent, excellent. Sherry Tesler along with us. She's a manager of the Hunger Task Force in Milwaukee, but the programs that she works with impacts people and families all across the state. So tell me a little bit about the demographics you're working with today, Sherry, and if you've seen any dramatic changes since fall of 2020 as far as the number of people that are now turning to the task force for assistance.
What we're seeing basically is here in Milwaukee, lots and lots of seniors and unemployed people. With regard to our work out state, we're seeing a lot of people of color, rural poor people, and indigenous people that are members of the tribal nations that are impacted. Before the pandemic, those groups didn't have access to a lot of the commodity foods because those programs were so small. And so now there's been a greater need, and we've infilled that need with those DAC cap dollars and the dairy recovery program. So the other thing I'd like to remind folk is that the other service population of the Hunger Task Force has been family farmers here in Wisconsin. We've made sure that we're keeping those dairy farmers working and paying a good price for their milk. We're making cheese and buying cheese, and we've supported the dairy farmers with yogurt as well as cottage cheese, in addition to the milk and the regular cheeses. And so to date, we have purchased 3,640,000 pounds of Wisconsin dairy, and we use DAC cap dollars to purchase another 1.9 million pounds of Wisconsin dairy for distribution to people in need.
I know when you and I had talked at one time, Sherry, and granted everybody was moving so fast trying to get assistance out to people in light of the pandemic, one issue that you had cited was just finding enough refrigeration space for some of these things. Has the system come together a little bit more now? Is it less stressful to try to get this product out to, as you said, those rural communities?
We were the recipients of $2.2 million in funding from the DACCAP program, again, our state's Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and we applied that money directly to purchase refrigeration, freezers, walk-in coolers, fork trucks, pallet jacks, and trucks, CDL trucks that are refrigerated, as well as cargo vans that are refrigerated. And so now our system has that sustainability to be able to continue to welcome foods from the Dairy Recovery Program. We are hopeful that the current care package that will be coming forward will also involve support to the states and hopefully funds to DACCAP again so that we can continue to support Wisconsin food producers.
You know, I don't know that you're looking this far down the road, Sherry, but let's say that the vaccine gets distributed in rapid order and we feel a little bit more confident about returning to a more normal life by, let's say, third quarter of 2021. Do you expect that your numbers at the Hunger Task Force will change? Tell me what you project after we get, hopefully, God willing, through the majority of this pandemic?
Well, what we hope is that we can shrink the demand for charity and rely on the government assistance. I would say it took a pandemic for people to realize that that food share program or food stamps is actually a good program that responds during a crisis like the one we're experiencing right now, and not a bad program where people are lazy and need to be drug tested. And so I think that it's reshaped our view of assistance from government and how important that is. And that government has a rightful role in helping people when they're in trouble. And it shouldn't just be charity. So I'm hoping by the third quarter things have cooled out, that people who need a food pantry, a homeless shelter, can visit one and get assistance. But that a lot of people are, you know, snug in their own house, eating food that they bought from the grocery store, either with food stamps or with the job that they've returned to.
Yeah, I think that's a hope for all of us. Sherry Tussler along with us. She's in charge of the Hunger Task Force, headquartered in Milwaukee, but with a ripple effect all across the state. Sherry, you touched on a couple of the programs that the Hunger Task Force helped to pull together and spearhead in 2020 that are still around. Tell people again how they can make a very important difference by donating through the Hunger Task Force. Give them a couple ways that they can do that, please.
Sure. If they want to help us out, we're continuing to support Wisconsin dairy, and there is a great need for that still, particularly with fluid milk and cheeses, and we're buying those and shipping them across the state, and so everyone would benefit regardless of what location they're in. But they can go to hungertaskforce.org and go online and just donate and designate that it's for Wisconsin dairy, and we'll make sure that we help out those farmers as well as feed hungry people.
That's what it's all about. Sherry Tussler, along with us, the manager of the Hunger Task Force, headquartered in Milwaukee, but like I said, with tactile reach all across the state, helping folks, not just in the urban city centers, but in rural communities that are suffering as well, make sure that they've got some food on their table. And like she said, with a special emphasis on it being Wisconsin food. HungerTaskForce.org. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com.
No doubt about it. The best seat in the house is the one in your bathroom. The toilet is one of those things you never expect to act up or break down. But when it does, Benjamin Plumbing will have one of their capable service techs check things out. It could be something as simple as a float valve. Or it could be you're due for a brand new, comfy toilet. And not to worry, the majority of Benjamin Plumbing's residential repairs are more affordable than you might think. Plus, they stand by their work with a warranty on all parts, labor, and repairs. Temperamental toilet? Contact your friends at Benjamin Plumbing.
Hi, Dale Benjamin with Benjamin Plumbing. When we say your plumbing problem is fixed, we mean it. No excuses, I guarantee it. Contact Benjamin Plumbing at BenjaminPlumbing.com.
Now you've got a friend in the plumbing business.
Benjamin Plumbing.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden you trouble had speaking, understanding?
Understanding trouble? Have you sudden have or speaking someone ever confusion?
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes,
suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance,
or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
If you or someone you know has any of these symptoms, don't wait. Call 911 immediately. You could make a difference in someone's life, someone you love, maybe even your own.
It's late until, wait, don't too.
Don't wait until it's too late. Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a little chilly this week compared to last. Let's talk about weather. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us live via Skype on a Tuesday. So, yeah, like I said, it looks like we've got a little bit of a change-up coming our way this week.
Just a little change, but, you know, it's going to be a real roller coaster. I mean, still not bad. A little cooler than normal expected today. Then we get a warm-up. That sounds great. Colder at the end of the week. Let me temper that warm-up. How about that? As I expect temperatures up in the 30s for a couple of days. Tomorrow, even though we have 30s, it'll be quite windy. And the wind chills could keep us down in the single digits or maybe only about 10 above. So don't be too overjoyed that we're suddenly going to have that little warm snap. Today, there's a weak front off the southwest edge of Wisconsin. Just a little snow in western parts of Minnesota, southwest Minnesota. Far southwest Wisconsin may get just a little snow out of this today. The rest of us, a few flurries. At least then we get that bit of a warm-up. But a cool front pulls through, and it really does cool for the end of the week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Farmers understand return on investment. They understand the power and the value of the sun.
Cameron Olson, owner of Olson Solar Energy.
This is just another opportunity for them to look for that power and that value. It's a business decision. Everything that farmers do and don't do on their land and their with their property is money. So one of the things that I heard one farmer say, it's a crop that I am yielding. instead of harvesting corn on this little section, he's harvesting sunlight to make electricity. You should reach out to us, and we will come out there for a very specialized, specific quote for you to look at your farm. We can put solar anywhere. We can put it on a barn. We can put it on the ground. We can put it on a hill. So we can put it anywhere that makes sense to you and your farm and your situation. And then once we design that, even powering your whole farm, you can harvest enough sunlight to have a $0 energy bill.
Go to OlsonSolarEnergy.com to start saving. Go green, save green with Olson Solar Energy.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731. Copyright 2021. All rights reserved.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, just a small chance of a bit of really light snow or a few stray flurries today, and otherwise cloudy skies. Will be in the low 20s with the west winds about 5 to 10. Still a small snow chance in the evening with cloudy skies. It does clear somewhat later tonight, and we cool down in the mid-single digits, 5 degrees or so. Northwest winds about 5 to 10. Partly sunny but breezy Wednesday, warmer 32. Wind chills, though, around 5 or 10 above, as south winds will increase 5 to 15. They'll gust around 20. Still a mild one Friday, mostly sunny, even a mid-30 possible. The west winds at 5 to 15. But then Friday, Pam, we may very well be back just into the upper teens for daytime highs. That cool air builds in for the weekend.
Well, I'm trying to figure out if that's a good thing or a not such good thing for the game on Sunday. I think that Brady knows how to play in cold weather. He's proven that. But I'm wondering about the rest of the team that's gotten pretty comfortable with Tampa-type temperatures, you know?
Yeah, look towards Sunday, though. I expect upper 20s like a normal January day in Green Bay with maybe a little light snow. It could make it fun.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. For sure. All right. Thanks, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right. See you then.
All right. Stumach Ag Meteorologist catching us up to speed on what's going on with our weather. One other note that I wanted to make sure I brought up to your attention. Wisconsin agriculture has lost a strong voice advocate Barbara Gronimus, who was a representative in western Wisconsin, passed away on Sunday at the age of 89. She'd been at a healthcare facility in Blair for quite some time, as I understand it. She liked to brag about how her district was so rural, it didn't even have a stoplight.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Winter's a great time to tackle projects. Let Blaine's Farm and Fleet get those projects done faster with our wide assortment of products. We carry everything from nuts and bolts to tools and tires and all kinds of feed and bedding. Right now, Hillman Grade 2 Hex nuts, bolts, and washers, just $1.79 a pound. Keep your flock happy with NatureWise feed. Choose from 40-pound bags of Hardy Hen and Feather Fixer or 50-pound bags of Country Feeds Egg Producer feed, now $2 off. And stock up on 25-pound bags of NutriStart Kid Non-Medicated Milk Replacer and 25-pound bags of Advanced Lamb Non-Medicated Milk Replacer. Your choice, just $39.99. Save 10% on select tractor parts and tune-up kits. Select Stanley Tractor Replacement Mufflers and Rain Caps, Apache Hydraulic Hose Assemblies, Data Roller Chains, and Delavan Hydraulic Cylinders. And mark your calendars for Chick Days coming soon. Go to farmandfleet.com for all the details. That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Huh?
Well, I told you yesterday I'd try to get the radon test kit out in a couple of weeks, but after looking at lowradon.org, turns out winter is the best time to test. So...
Well done, Master Yoda.
You know, I didn't realize radon was the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers.
It's also practically undetectable unless you test your home.
Hard to see the dark side is.
I love you.
I know.
Find out where to get your radon test kit at lowradon.org.
This message sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
If you've been injured in a bad crash, you might think the facts are so clear that you don't need an attorney. Big mistake. Insurance companies have many arguments to reduce settlements, no matter how clear the claim may seem. I'm John Raihala. At Clifford and Raihala, we have the experience you need to take on those arguments and win. Recent example. A young woman was driving when an oncoming car crossed the center line and crashed into her head-on. She was severely injured and paralyzed and needed experienced lawyers. Though her case seemed clear, the insurance company still came up with lots of reasons why they didn't want to pay. We fought for her and made sure she and her family received the full compensation they deserved.
For relentless dedication to helping you and your family, choose Clifford and Raihala, hard-working, skilled attorneys fighting for you. For justice, myjustice.com.
Neon, Dayglow, flashing lights, special effects. Today's world puts our sense of sight on overload. Luckily, there are places we can go to refocus our senses. Our national wildlife refuges. It's a wonder how much you'll see once all the distractions fade away. You may see a lone eagle soaring past massive snow-capped mountains, or a great horned owl perched stoically on a branch nearby. You may see the furry face of a baby sea otter curiously poking its head out of the dark blue sea, or ancient rocks shaped by centuries of wind. When you see these things, you're seeing the world the way we found it. With over 500 refuges across America, you don't have to go far to make a special connection with nature. Learn more at fws.gov/refuges. That's fws.gov/refuges.
We don't offer greasy handshakes
or kiss babies on the forehead to get your vote.
Tom and Tom of Tom's Auto Center.
We hope you elect Tom's Auto Center for our overall genuine knowledge of complete auto repair.
We really do want to make your car great again.
Stay safe, drive safe.
Off Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
Tom's Auto Center, here to get her fixed, get her done, to get you going, guys.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Educated Mortgage, the smartest way home. Call Dan, the Mortgage Man.
Believe it or not, interest rates are the lowest in history, and now is the time to refinance. If you want to save some money on your mortgage every month, it's very quick and easy. Allow me to show you all of your options. Just give me a call, and we'll get the process started.
Educated Mortgage, the smartest way home. Call Dan, the Mortgage Man.
NMLS number 222652.
All right, Rob, so another battle that we were watching there out on the field was Aaron Donald versus that offensive line and Aaron Rodgers. I think we got to say, as Aaron Rodgers tabbed the offensive line the MVP of the game, they definitely won that battle over Aaron Donald, correct?
Yeah, Donald just clearly wasn't himself. I mean, it is remarkable. I was having this discussion with a scout last night, Evo, that, you know, in these 2 years here that Matt LaFleur has taken over, you know, Green Bay has been so remarkably healthy, and they've caught a lot of breaks along the way, running into teams time after time, week after week, that have just been dinged and decimated by injury. I mean, the Cooper Kupp injury was huge right before the game started. I mean, at best, Aaron Donald was 50% of himself. You know, when Aaron Jones hit that big 60-yard run to start the second half, for example, Aaron Donald was on the sideline. He didn't play that first series coming out of halftime. They were, you know, I didn't look yesterday what his final snap count was, but I'd have to imagine it was in the 30s or something like that, Evo, compared to a normal week where I'm sure he's between 60 and 70. So, I mean, at best, he appeared like 50, 60% of what he normally was. You know, that Corey Linsley had faced him, for example, I think, Evo, in like 2018 and 2014 or 15, something like that. This wasn't close to the same Aaron Donald that Linsley had seen in the past. It wasn't close to the same Aaron Donald that the league has seen. So that rib cartilage stuff was far worse, I think, than they let on through the week. I mean, they even tried to, you know, disguise it almost to take him off the injury list and things like that by the end of the week. But he was beat to nonsense, Evo. But undoubtedly, Green Bay won that matchup against the front. I thought Brockers was really good for the Rams, but for the most part, Green Bay really contained their defensive front. You know, Rodgers wasn't sacked. You know, what they run the ball for 188, I think, something like that.
Yep.
So they went absolutely bongos on the ground, and Evo, they're going to need to have similar productivity out of that O line and probably out of the run game to beat Tampa Bay this week.
Yeah, Rob Reichel joining us right now. Our Packers Insider, check his workout at Forbes.com, his Twitter account @RobReichel. Excuse me, Robbie. You know, Tom Brady, different story than a guy named Jared Goff who's got three pins in his thumb. Tom Brady, a habitual winner, right? And I had texted you and said, I want Brady. I want him. And you texted me back saying, be careful what you wish for. Rob, what are we thinking here? Do the Packers have to have a similar blueprint like they did against the Rams? Or are we thinking back to earlier in the regular season when the Packers kind of got tuned up by the Buccaneers? Like, what are we thinking of this NFC Championship game, Rob? Rodgers versus Brady. What do we got? What are we thinking?
Well, it's early in the week, and we'll see how some of these things play out. But to me, this was the scariest matchup for Packer Nation to end up facing. I mean, Tom Brady's the greatest winner in the history of the league. He's undoubtedly the greatest player in the history of the league because he's the greatest winner. I mean, you're talking about, I'm just going to throw a couple of real quick numbers by you, Evo, that'll blow your mind. I mean, he has 32 playoff wins, and the next quarterback in terms of who's closest to him, Evo, is Joe Montana with 16. I mean, he has him doubled. He's playing in his 14th. Conference championship game. I think it's 9 of the last 10 years, too, Evo. Wow. He's been in a conference title game. No other quarterback in the history of the league has been in more than 7. Again, that's Joe Montana. I mean, 9 Super Bowl appearances, 6 championships. I mean, the guy is just the – I mean, he's the absolute last guy, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I wanted to see on my way to trying to win a second Super Bowl. Drew Brees and the Saints, I think, would have been a far more favorable matchup for Green Bay just because Brees can't throw the ball more than 10 or 15 yards down the field. But across the board, Evo, I mean, this is a stacked Tampa Bay team. It really is. I mean, I think Green Bay is an outstanding football team, But there aren't a lot of spots where right now I would give them the edge. I mean, Tampa Bay has three legitimate number one wide receivers. They have two legitimate number one tight ends. They have two legitimate number one running backs. There's so much young, gifted talent and speed across that defense. The game even will look nothing like that 38-10 game people watched in October where Tampa ran Green Bay out of the building down there. This will be a field goal game one way or the other, but the bottom line is Tom Brady, Evo, he has 14 fourth quarter game-winning drives in playoff games.
You can hear her clearly, even in a barn full of cows. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
We'll hear him clearly in about 15 minutes. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, is going to be joining us live at about 5:45. Markets were idle yesterday in honor of the Martin Luther King holiday, but they have already re-engaged as far as trading is concerned. Dow Jones Industrial Average looks pretty strong, but what about commodities? We'll talk with John on that. Coming up, I'm PM Jahnke. Now, from the Landmark Services Cooperative Agri News Desk, here's what's happening on a Tuesday. So today, the 19th day of January. On this day back in 1976, a federal district judge ordered the Milwaukee schools to desegregate. Now, this is 1976. Doesn't that seem like fairly recent history? They said that they were illegally segregated in violation of the 14th Amendment. And that violated the rights of the students. They ordered the Milwaukee School Board to take immediate steps to desegregate the public schools. That was on this day in 1976. Going back a little farther on this day in 1939, Wisconsin set the chicken plucking world record. A guy named Ernest Hausen on this day in 1939 set the world's record for chicken plucking in Fort Atkinson. How about that? And happy birthday to Dolly Parton. She was born on this day in 1946. And now you know. Well, we want you to know we're continuing to do our best to try to keep you up to speed on news relative to the COVID-19 vaccine and its rollout, especially in rural areas across the state. This morning, we're focused in on some of the scams that you need to be aware of and spread the news. Tell your mom, tell your dad, your aunt, your uncle, so that they don't fall victim to these scams. Fellow farm broadcaster Michael Clements tells us more.
Oklahoma AARP State Director Sean Voskel says scammers will target elderly and underserved citizens, including those in rural America, as the vaccine rollout continues.
There have been anecdotal reports of vaccine scams in pockets of the country where you see long lines of people waiting for or trying to sign up for the shots. However, we haven't seen evidence of widespread vaccine scams. In fact, more people are contacting us looking for the vaccine than people reporting vaccine scams. That said, though, we know they're coming, especially as the priority groups begin to expand.
Voskel offers these tips to follow to ensure you don't fall for a vaccine scam.
No one will have to pay for the vaccine. There are no legitimate shortcuts that allow you to access the vaccine early. Rely on trusted information from health providers and your public health department on information about the vaccine. And don't share personal information such as credit card details or your social security number in response to unsolicited calls, texts, or emails.
Meanwhile, with another round of stimulus funds, some folks will receive a prepaid Visa card. Voskel says the prepaid cards and checks will be in a clearly marked envelope this time around.
The first round of payments were in a plain white envelope, so some folks thought they were junk or scams. For this round, the envelope displays the U.S. Treasury Department seal. But if you throw yours out, you can get it deactivated and request a replacement card through eipcard.com. This website is from the bank contracted to mail the cards.
Michael Clements reporting.
Thanks, Michael. And, you know, developments of a vaccine for COVID-19 are still being developed. You might call this one an organic approach to fighting COVID-19. A Canadian company is in the final stages of testing a plant-based COVID-19 virus vaccine. They hope it'll get approval for distribution later this year. Medicago, based near Quebec City, is using chloroplast proteins found in plants within the tobacco family and native to Australia. Fellow farm broadcaster Denny Guy from Canada gives us that interesting take on the COVID vaccine.
Using plant chloroplast to create vaccines is not new, as the approach has been used to fight both viral and bacterial diseases. Plant-based virus-fighting vaccines include rotavirus in humans and parvovirus in animals. Its bacterial disease vaccines include cholera, Lyme disease, anthrax, and tetanus. Dr. Natalie Sharland, a senior director with Medicago, says the company is currently in phase 3 testing of its human trials. She said that, like most of the COVID vaccines already approved, this plant-based vaccine requires 2 doses 21 days apart. But she says the Medicago vaccine is inherently different because it does not include COVID-19 genetic material.
Our vaccine is protein-based, so it's not mRNA like the first vaccine that have been approved. It's a more traditional type of vaccine, but it doesn't contain genetic information. Because it looks a lot like the virus in shape and in the structure, the immune system reacts very well.
To date, Medicago's plant chloroplast vaccine is showing responses in trials quite similar to conventional measures, commonly referred to as adjuvanted vaccines.
So phase one showed that the safety profile was pretty similar to what we see in general with adjuvanted vaccines. So we hope we'll see the same thing in the populations we're testing right now. We will be targeting 30,000 subjects across the world.
In March of last year, the Canadian government announced it would fund Medicago's COVID-19 vaccine efforts and signed an agreement for up to $175 million to accelerate Medicago's vaccine development. But the irony here is that if and when this Canadian company rolls out its plant-based vaccine, American patients will probably be the first in line. Back in 2009, Medicago was unsuccessful in getting financial backing from Ottawa, but it did get funding from the U.S. government. Dr. Scott Halperin of the Canadian Center for Vaccinology says it looks like the first rollout of the Medicago vaccine will not originate in Quebec or in Canada, but from their facility in Durham, North Carolina.
The U.S. government supported the Canadian company first. It's good that the Canadian government is now supporting a Canadian company.
Medicago is hoping to receive approval for its plant chloroplast-based vaccine in mid-2021. Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
Thanks, Denny. And of course, we continue to have dialogue with folks at the Department of Health Services right here in the state of Wisconsin on what's going to be happening as far as the COVID-19 rollout, specifically for farmers, farm workers, and food processing workers. They are working on the rules as we speak, and I hope to have someone from the Department of Health Services join us with the latest on the vaccine rollout sometime later this week. Markets are just getting back to business after a 3-day weekend in light of the Martin Luther King holiday. We'll talk with John Heinberg about that in just a moment. Dow Jones Industrial Average are up 170 points right now. Commodities, not quite that robust. March corn's up a half, currently at 532. December corn down a penny at 461. March soybeans are down 8 right now at 1408, with November new crop beans up about a penny at 1198. July new crop wheat, that's currently trading up nearly 9 cents at 666 a bushel. Friday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 157 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was down 7 at $1.83. Double A butter closed the week down a penny on Friday at 129. Fluid milk contracts in overnight trade have not started moving yet. The February milk is still up 32 cents from Friday's trade at 1923 a hundredweight. March milk closed 41 cents higher at 1904, and April milk was up 29 cents at 1855 a hundredweight. So no action just yet as far as fluid milk contracts are concerned. All right, coming up in just a moment, we are going to find out what the news of the day is for our traders in Chicago. Are they looking at the inauguration and the administration as a driving force in the markets? What else is out there? John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, joins us live as our guest next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Say, have you heard of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation? Yes, it's a grassroots organization of people just like you that care about keeping agriculture strong. By joining Farm Bureau, you also qualify for a number of money-saving member benefits on equipment, autos, travel, and insurance. Get more details at WFBF.com.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance, the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, is here for you even when the weather isn't. With crop hail damage, protect your operation from hail, fire, lightning, and more. Visit ruralmutual.com/farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731. Copyright 2021. All rights reserved.
Tom Spitz
and David Fink of Settlers Bank.
Managing your business operations is complicated.
Our talented treasury management team offers high-tech solutions that simplify,
maximize operational efficiency, optimize cash flow, and reduce risk.
Together, we'll achieve quantifiable results and transform your business.
Stop by or visit settlerswi.com.
Settlers Bank. Timely decisions, lenders you know. Member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Sows, cows, plows. Heck, anything connected to farming's on the menu here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Yeah, and we open the doors to basically anything that's on the menu when we talk to our friend John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson. And I just want to remind you again, their website, if you need to kind of follow up on these conversations, is totalfarmmarketing.com. And their toll-free number that you can call them is 800-334-9779. 800-334-9779. I bring that up because John Heinberg's along with us again on a Tuesday morning. Let's jump right in here, John. First, let's go back, I guess, a little bit because it's still an influence in the marketplace. The World Ag Supply Demand Report, we knew it had the potential to be a newsmaker, and boy, it sure didn't disappoint. The market's still talking and digesting some of those numbers this week.
Yeah, I mean, we had some pretty big adjustments, especially in the corn markets. And we saw basically a record cut in yield from that November number to January at 3.8 bushels per acre down to 172. So that really cut into the supply picture. And then again, the USDA steps back and looks at grain stocks reports and continues to make adjustments, probably reflecting the weakness in the harvest that maybe has been overstated the last couple of years. So with that, all of a sudden, we got a corn supply picture that's at 1.5 billion bushels of carryover. Realistically, if you think back to June, we were pushing well over 3 billion, so we're over 50% cut from where we were just in June in terms of the corn stockpiles. So that obviously sent corn prices limit higher that day. The bean number didn't disappoint. It was in line with expectations. The USDA did add a little bit more to the demand side of the equation, and beans shot 40 to 50 cents higher that day as well. Now we're still trying to digest those numbers and see where we go from here. Realistically, U.S. corn is still the cheapest corn in the world on the export front. We're still seeing active business there in that market. And now we're starting to question, do we need to start rationing corn supplies at 5:30?
Wow, yeah. 5:30. Just think about that. So that is got, aside from the numbers and continuing to watch weather in South America, which I think is changing, now that really begs the question, what are you going to plant? Right now, there's a lot of temptation in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, and the market's basically been screaming at most commodities here, we want acres, period. It doesn't matter if it's corn, beans, wheat, cotton, sorghum. You're seeing price strength across the board because of the demand side of the equation. And that's something we're going to really start focusing on as we go forward. Where are we going to be in the corn, bean mix, and what's going to happen in terms of that acre battle? And that's some of the strength we're starting to see maybe move into that December 21 corn, up a couple pennies again today, pushing 460. Charts look strong. But, it's trying to weigh itself against against $12 soybeans. And where does that market go? You know, we've been seeing more export activity in that new crop bean market. So, you know, already you're starting to see some activity there saying they want those supplies when we first harvest them next fall. So it's going to be one of those things we have to watch. The corn soybean ratio is trading about 2.6 right now, which usually trades around 2.5. So that's leaning a little bit more to the bean side of the equation. So we're going to have to see if producers are going to make some switches to plant more bean acres. One big thing that's going to be a factor, though, we had really nice weather this fall, and the dry conditions in a lot of these regions allowed guys to get some of the ground prepped for corn, you know, over the in the fall post-harvest window. Does that make an influence on the change? And then obviously we got wheat and what happens with the spring wheat market in the northern tier between beans and wheat in the Dakotas and the northern plains.
Yeah, that's and like you said, I mean, I'm one of those that did get some fall field work done, so you feel like you've got more options. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening with weather in South America, because again, if they get their ducks in a row and everything comes back online, we've got to factor in their production when it comes to what we're doing here.
Yeah, we've been watching that South American weather for weeks and weeks now. The Brazil area, the Brazil regions are mostly in very good shape is what we've been hearing from the research we see and the people we talk to in that regard. They're still going to put out a bean crop that's going to be pushing the 130 million metric tons. But with the global wheat global soybean situation where it is, we need 130 million metric tons out of there just to kind of keep the stockpiles moving. So even with that, the market, you know, at this stage, it'll probably, you know, will reflect the harvest and the pressure coming in, but it's still going to stay elevated in price. Plus, at this time frame too, we're looking at the Brazilian producer is heavily sold, so you know, in advance of the harvest, so that could also help out in terms of keeping price support there, because this market's just looking for beans. Argentina still stays as a major focus, probably the one that we're going to be watching more in terms of impact of price, because they compete with us on the soybean meal export and the corn export side. They've been dealing with a little bit more of the weather issue, and we've seen some adjustments come down in terms of that crop. So that's still going to be the focus probably going forward, what happens maybe more in Argentina than Brazil.
Boy, it sounds like you're all keyed up. John Heinberg along with us from the Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson Group. And I say that because John's going to be presenting during the UW Ag Outlook Forum next week, huh?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be covering a little bit of the corn and soybean outlook for 2021. I'll go over a lot of those factors that I just kind of mentioned there in our couple minutes together. I'm looking forward to getting that information out. And you know, feel free to check into that Outlook forum and shoot me some questions.
Yeah, and remember, it's all virtual, as you can imagine. So that means no matter where you are, if you've got internet access, you can tap in. So we're trying to look forward now, John. What other elements are you kind of keeping an eye on that will give us a leading indicator on what direction markets are going?
Well, one of the biggest outside indicators is going to be that U.S. dollar index and what's happening with that dollar. Obviously, we've got a lot of money moving into the system, and President-elect Biden has stepped forward with another set of round of aid packages in his mind that could come at us. That's going to put more pressure on that. You know, we're looking at stockpiles at 2013-14 levels, but the dollar's not quite to those levels yet. And that could be that last key. If we see that break through this round of area or support area that we're at right now with the dollar, that could give us one more push higher in these corn and bean prices, or you know, prices in general, as maybe we're moving into a bit of a super cycle in the commodity sector.
Yeah, I love it. And are we still continuing to ship out? Everything's still moving for all the promises we've been given?
Everything still continues to move. That's been one of the strengths that's been underneath this market. And then at the same time, you know, last week we had above expectation export sales for both corn and beans. So even at these price levels, the importers are active in the marketplace, again, just trying to secure these supplies. You know, we come back to China and their involvement. Realistically, right now, they can bring in U.S. beans at $14 a bushel and U.S. corn at $5.30 a bushel and still make money given the domestic prices that they're seeing over there at this stage.
Wow, really? So what are they seeing? What's their price?
Well, right now we estimate that corn's probably pushing the $10 a bushel, $11 a bushel area, and then their soybeans probably pushing the $16 to $17. The really big push in that market there has been their soybean meal market, which is pushing all-time highs at this time frame. You know, we just saw an article from Reuters over the weekend that their pork production is basically back to where it should be or getting close to that level. And again, they've turned it into a very intensive feeding program over there now compared to maybe, you know, where 40% of the hogs are done at more of a smaller backwoods type operation. So with that type of operation and type of intensive feeding, they need clean feed and they need fresh feed now.
Wow. Very good, John. You just bring a little bit of that to that UW Ag Outlook Forum, and they will stand and applaud virtually for you. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you next week, all right?
Thanks a lot. Have a great week.
All right. John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, getting you revved up and ready to go on a Tuesday. And like I said, if you ever want to reach John, you can do that, totalfarmmarketing.com, or their toll-free number is 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. Now, don't forget, folks, even when you can't hear my voice, I encourage you to check out what's going on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. You can sign up for our daily e-newsletter. And of course, we'll also have our podcast there for you to review and listen again.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.